And if you, in the light of the season, and in the light of what we're looking at on 1 John chapter 3, 24, and chapter 4, 1 through 3, we're looking at that, and all of this connects to all of that. So, and you know, it's the season, and many of you, I don't say everyone, because it isn't always true. You would think you would all know all the stuff you should. Right here. So when I say something, you know it. You got it. But I don't want to assume that. I listened to people talk, and I said, it sounds like you don't know, and you've never been there. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Don't you? They don't know. So, but in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem of Judea many years ago, and so we celebrate Christmas, so people do. So, what to look at that? All the statements, and let's put it together as simply as I can. It's a big thing. It's an awesome thing, but a very simple thing. So, and in Philippians chapter 2, we have the kenosis, the self-emptying of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you pick that up in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form, the shape, the appearance of a servant. The word servant is the word slave, the bottom of the pile, slave. Can't be worse. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, slave, and was made in the likeness of men. So God, in his wonderful, wonderful wisdom, had a wonderful, wonderful plan to glorify himself. And thus, he's going to create angels, going to create us humans. And in doing so, knowing we have all choice, have to have choice. Angels have choice. Humans have to have choice. And the choice was a negative one by angels, many of them, and by the humans, Adam and Eve, made a negative choice. Now, all of that is there. All of that is part of the program, part of the picture. That needs to be there because the awesomeness of God, if you don't show God is a God who is holy, and he opposes, and that's the opposite of unholy. He's right, the opposite of wrong. He's good, the opposite of bad. He's light in the opposite of darkness. How are you going to show that if you never see darkness, if you never see light, if you never see right or wrong? There has to be a way to show that. That's God's character. He's a God who's righteous and merciful. Merciful. How do you show merciful? So God, in his creation, creates us humans, knowing we're going to fail and fall. But that's part of it. That's part of it. You got to have that. In order for God to put on display his awesome person. So he went and was born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. And verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. And therefore, you got the idea. And that's a wonderful little section to sum it up. Now, So Christ had to go to the cross and die. Now, how does that turn around and come out? He's born in Bethlehem, Judea. So I'll try to illustrate it for you. And bear with me. Now, this is a human. This is a human. This is a body. When conception is made, the cells develop 2, 4, 6, 8, 16, 22, 32, 64, 128. They keep going. Wow. Just keep going.
Yep.
And they do. And all the different parts of the body are formed in some awesome way that they know, but they don't know. And all that. And when that body is ready, Hebrews 10, 5, a body thou hast prepared for me. God said that. God, the Spirit of God, Luke 1:35, conceived. Not the seed of the, it says this, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, because there's no man involved. No man. She provides the whole human aspect of it. She becomes the egg and the seed. She provides the human body that's formed in her womb. Now, and so, and when a human body is formed and the baby is ready, the baby comes out. And when the baby is exiting in that awesome moment, when we transfer from the mother, body and health, breathing, we transfer to the human. And you know, we did that before, and it's an awesome thing. And your remarkable birth, when that happens, God switches your heart and everything in a moment of time automatically, and it goes from the mother to the baby, and the baby becomes alive in a moment. It's God does it. It's a miracle. That's right. God made that. So here comes the baby's born, and the baby has a body, and when the baby is born, the baby that has the body has a body. I didn't mean to open these. The baby has a body, and the baby's person. The baby, here's the body, and here's the baby. Baby's inside the body. You live inside your body. You have a body. You are not the body. You live inside your body. That's what you do. So, keeping this in mind, if you would. But when the body, because of Adam, and we're all lined up in Adam, so all that are born in human birth, all of them are born what? Just like this. They have no relationship to God. That's called death. They lost their relationship to God because of sin. So, they're all born like this, godless. Godless. They have a spirit to know God, but they don't know God. Now, God, what did you do? You had to do something to save all us guys that came out of Adam. We're all like this. All of us are like this. Now, so God, you got to do something to save us. And before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain to save us. Christ would go to the cross and become the perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Savior. He would come to save us. Now, how did that happen? This is what he has to save. Adam. And you would know that in our Lord, he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, and Mary formed the body. Formed the body. That's what she did. She formed the body. When Christ was formed, the Spirit of God, and when conception and when it was ready, Mary delivered her. And she delivered. She delivered a human body. This body is of Adam. sinful. It inherited everything that you don't want to have to have, but you do. When Christ was born, he was minus. He was born the last Adam, and he was born sinless, the sinless Son of God. Now, so he's perfectly human. And when he's born, at the same time, he has a perfect human nature. At the same time, he has the perfect nature of God. That's what he did. They came together. That's the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's of the last Adam for life, the first Adam for death. Now, Christ did this to save this. Adam gets us in, we can't, everyone that's going to be born till the end of the millennium is going to be born by Adam, and they all need to be saved. But the last Adam, Christ became in the line, perfect human. He has everything. In fact, when he was born, he had to have the same development as this one. 2 cells, 4 cells, 6 cells. He had to have the same thing. Everything's the same. So when Christ comes along, he makes perfect human, but the sinless Son of God. And at the same time, the Spirit of God, having made the perfect body, Jesus Christ, God the Son, enters into this body. And this nature, human nature, this nature, God's nature. When you say nature, what do you mean? It's one person, but two natures. What's a nature? A nature is that which belongs to the constitution. All the properties of something that's the same. The easiest way, your tree. Think of a tree and the limbs of the tree. The limbs of the tree match the tree perfectly. They are of the same kind. Apple nature, peach nature, whatever. They are of the same kind. Nature. God has a perfect body. Now, having a human nature in its perfection and a divine nature in its perfection. All human perfectly, all God perfectly, and they're together in the same body. One person, two natures. It's called not birth. Christmas isn't birth, it's the incarnation. Different. You and I are born. He was incarnate. This is different. So therefore, and the two are there. One person, the human nature never becomes divine, never knows. The divine, God's nature, the divine God's nature, never becomes human. They're separate. They're together in a unique oneness. That's important. In a unique oneness. They enjoy that oneness together. Never. The human never becoming deity, and the deity never becoming human. And yet, in a marvelous way, they're one person. One unique person. That's what God did for us. That's how he saves us. And we're going to do it. Our time will be gone probably, but at least we're trying. Got to get you the picture a little bit. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, this is what God has done. He goes to the cross. When he goes to the cross, he can't die. He's gone. But he can die.
Because he's perfectly human. That's why they never come together. They're one, one. But they're always separate, as you'll see. Now, and we read it over and over again. We say it 25 times to you in different ways as we read the scripture. If you're just listening and paying attention, God's always telling you what he's doing. Now, so here we are. And Christ goes to the cross and dies on the cross, all these little things. On the cross, he bears our sin in his own body in the tree. There's nothing here. He's perfectly human, paying from stem to from top to bottom for every single sin of everyone that's in Adam. And he's dying for them. There can't be any God because God can't die. You're right. And God doesn't die. The human part dies. He pays the price. And when he's on the cross, he calls out because he's this way. This is what he is. But on the cross, he's dying. And when he's at noon to 3 o'clock, he bears our sin in his own body in the tree and cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's right here. And God had to back off, as it were. Back off. And Christ had to bear your sin and mine all by his lonesome for 3 hours to pay the price to save us. Now, having saved us, that's wonderful. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to offer to us and make it, you made it possible for us to be saved. Now, God, how are we going to be saved? Okay, now, I'll have to tell God, I have to tell God to leave this for a minute to illustrate. So, here you are dead in sins, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what he asked you to do, to believe him. And when you receive him as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. Because he died on the cross, he's able to go. The price is paid. He's able to go. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. And now they're saved. He's saved. Why is the person saved? Because you receive Christ as your Savior. That's why you're saved. Otherwise, you're dead in sins. And you've still got an old nature. And that's what you and I sit with as believers. We got an old nature. And as that old nature, but at the same moment, God has given and taken us and made us one in Christ, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God, now we got an old nature, but we also have a Savior. And we have a Savior. And that now you got us, this is your struggle. Galatians 5, 17, and the conflict. The new nature is against the old nature. And they're in conflict. They're in conflict. That's what they are. That's what they always are. The Spirit of God's never happy with your old nature because he crucified it. And you keep trying to exercise it because you're still done. You still got it. You still got the old nature. That's your problem. And your old nature finds it hard because it will, you know, to turn there. Romans 6, 7 and 8. Your old nature, it's impossible for your old nature to enjoy your new nature. It's impossible. So don't even decide to try it. Don't even try. It's impossible. It'll never do it. The only way you can handle it, the way he did, he crucified it. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. You understand? And God gives you. That's why you have a struggle. You have your heart, your problems, the world around you. You have to feel it, see it. You go with it. And you've got your old nature
This trying to handle your 24-hour day, 7 days a week, your old nature is trying to handle it. That's what it's trying to do. But you also have a new one. And you need to see at the same time, you have your earthly experience. At the same moment, you have a heavenly one. And how heaven sees right now is one thing. How we see it is another. And you need to always remember how heaven sees it. Where is heaven seeing it? In your heart. So your old nature is going to do what it does. But you have a new nature. So remember, when everything, the old is old, but you have a brand new way to see everything. Suffering, heartache, headache, sorrow, pain, war, death. That's how you see it. Differently. Differently, and God does that. Are you getting the idea? It's the reality of this. This is simple. You get it so you understand what's happening in your heart and how you live. Because you think like this, I understand. I understand. That's how I think. I got it. That's what you want to do. Otherwise, you put it out here and say, oh, yeah, the pastor had a pear and a golden apple. Yeah, we did that. Yeah. Very nice. Maybe he'll use it next year again. See? It didn't do you any good. If it doesn't get in there, man, if none of this gets in, and today's going to be the day for it, if nothing gets in, what can I tell you? I'd say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I wouldn't trust that. I better have more than that going for me. So therefore, now, having said that, here we are, and you want to know, and you want to go, and God's, and you live like this. That's how you have to live. That's how you're going to do it. That's how it's going to be. You live like this. 21, and it's how you live. As you're a believer, and you're recognizing the gift of God in your heart, God has given you his Son. And therefore, you enjoy that. And you do that. And you do it. And you do it 7 days a week. And you just have to live with your old nature and trust God and understand how you got saved and why you're saved. Because Christ died on the cross and took your sin in his own body on the tree and bare the penalty so that in Adam, the last Adam, in Christ, he died for everybody. When he, say it easier, Adam sinned. Adam and Eve believed, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the promise. When Adam and Eve believed the seed of the woman, Adam enjoyed being saved. He enjoyed being saved. Adam and Eve were saved. They were saved. They had to live with their own nature. They also had the last Adam. Christ died for Adam and Eve and everyone in Adam and Eve, which is us guys. He died for everyone. So when Adam and Eve believed, so did all the rest. And so when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, all we're doing is Adam got us in. We had no choice. Christ gets us out. We have a choice. We have to choose to believe. Now, save, that's good. I'm going to go to heaven. But not like this. How am I going to get rid of this old nature that I live with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? So therefore, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 3:1-3. We're looking for what? We're going to be like him. We're going to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, changed in a twinkling of an eye. God's going to do that. So now,
Okay, here we are. And if the Lord were to come right now, or you were to drop dead right now, either way, this is you and your old nature from Adam. And he says, I don't want that. Christ crucified you, gospel, and he buried you. But in fact, now you become buried. God doesn't want this body. Flesh, 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So that's out. So what happens to this old nature? Well, our person, Christ, takes us and we leave the body. We leave everything from Adam. Adam got us in. The last Adam gets us out. And gets us out. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we don't have an Adam nature now. You have Christ. And the old nature is gone. So when you die, you put away your body, but you're putting away everything you got from Adam. So everything's done, and you're free. You're new creatures in Christ. You have a body like unto his. You're whole new. It's a whole new ball game. But you can't have it yet. You still live in your old nature. Now, you got the idea? No. It's real simple, but awesomely, isn't it? Because this is what happened inside of you if you got saved. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, your nature, so God, what are we going to do? Well, let's look at a couple of things so you see it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect. And remember, I'll say it again and again, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas isn't about us giving Christmas to each other and everything. Christmas is all about God giving you a gift. It isn't about anything about what we do. It's about what God does for us. Christmas is about him looking at you and me and dying for us and offering to us a relationship that we didn't have, and you were willing to receive it. That's Christmas. All about him. You'll catch it. And now, hang on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and if you can, over and picking up in Isaiah 53. Isaiah in chapter 53. And if I can, Isaiah, where are you, Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 53, picking up if I may. And you pick it up. Remember all the different places, Micah 5:2, etc., his birth, he had to be the baby born, Isaiah 7, and all of those different things. Now, here's Isaiah 53, talking about the death of Christ, describing him. Now, what do we know? What do we know? Christ is born, a babe. Now, what? He's perfectly human. And chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall, when Christ is born, he shall go up before him, before God, as a tender plant. He's just going to be a little baby, and God, in his awesome awesomeness, limits himself. That's why he subjected himself. He became a slave. He became perfectly human, so that all that he would do on planet Earth would be from his humanness, not from his deity. Not from his deity. From his humanness. We do it and see it.
Therefore, he grew up as a tender plant, just a normal little baby that cried. And God limited himself in the baby, because God is in the baby. God's in the baby. Yeah, God's in the baby. But he limited himself to crying. That's all he would do. And he limited himself to having his diapers changed. And he limited himself to having milk, etc., etc. He limited himself. God is going to be what? He's going to let man be fully man so that he's an example for us. Think of, let me finish this one. 53, verse 2. He grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Now, the little baby didn't grow up with perfect environment. He lived with unbelieving Israel, dry, lifeless. They had no relationship to God. They were going to reject God in Christ. They had no relationship. He grew up in dry ground. He didn't grow up having a wonderful environment when he went to the grocery store and everything. He didn't have that. He grew up in a situation that was dark and the godless at that time. So now, and he hath no form nor comeliness. He's just an ordinary. Why couldn't he just be some special baby and some special everything? No. You wouldn't recognize him, as it were. He's just ordinary. Just ordinary. That's right. Just ordinary. You wouldn't recognize him, as it were. I'm sure you would, I think, in one way. Another way, you wouldn't. How do I know they wouldn't? They didn't recognize him, did they? He's 29 years old. They don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. He's just the son of Mary. Now, hang on. So, and back over, I started to say, over to the Gospel of John. And in chapter 5, and you'll recall, in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 18, and therefore the Jews, I'm going to do this again, but at least for the moment, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And that they understood, they didn't understand. But they didn't understand what he said, that he had a relationship to God that they never had. So they said, listen, the only way you could say what you just said is that you think, are you God? I'm the Son of God, he said. I am God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I am God. That's what I am. Now, and therefore, he answered them, but it isn't about my deity. It isn't about that. Christ came to bear your sin in his own body on the tree. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So, perfect humanity. You're going to read that all the way through. Always difference, in a good way, difference in different ways. Now you see it. And remember, the Lord Jesus would say, my soul, human. He is perfect. He had a soul, a body, physical body to die. He had a soul, and the soul housed his spirit. And he had a human soul. He said, my soul, Matthew 26. He said, my spirit, John 13. My body. He has a perfect human soul and body. And that's what you read. When you read, you turn the pages and you get all the information that you want to understand. So therefore, Therefore, in his perfect humanity, as he grew up as a normal child, as we shared together, and he was hungry, and you know, Matthew chapter 4, and you're going to go to school, what are you going to do? Well, one of the assignments is to go and turn the pages of the New Testament and write down every name that you see, that you find. Turn the pages and write down all these little things. Find everything you can find. I said, whoa, that's hard. That's right. That's what you got to do. You're going to learn your Bible. You're going to learn your Bible. That's how you learn. Now, so therefore, now, having said that, chapter 4, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. So he was hungry, right? He was awesomely hungry. There's no question. He was hungry because he's perfectly human. And he thirsted on the cross, remember, among other things. Remember, he went to the well, right here, John chapter 4 and that. The woman, he went to the well, and what did he say to the woman? I thirst. Get me to drink. Get me to drink. I thirst. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. I need to rest. Go apart and rest. I'm tired. He was perfectly human. All the time, he'd never be tired. All the time, he would never have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and you'll never have to eat or drink again. All the time, he had everything, and he exercised none of it, usually. Now, there's an exception to that. And he slept. Remember, he slept in the back of the boat during the storm, and he was at peace. The storm's all over the place, and the storm is so much for these fishermen that lived their life on the Sea of Galilee, as they live in the sea, and it is such a storm that the boat is threatened to sink because of the storm, the water coming in, and they were so much concerned, and the Lord was sleeping. Wasn't the Lord care? That we're all in trouble. Lord, don't you care? You're sleeping. So they tapped him. And wake up. Wake up. He said, what's the trouble? There's water splashed around. What's the trouble? I said, oh, he said, to the sea. And it stopped. Just stop. And go back to sleep. Get the idea. Now, so therefore, when he spoke, remember he's the God-man. So when he spoke sometime from his God side, from the God side. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 5. Hebrews 10 and in verse 5. And you'll catch it. And you'll note Hebrews 10 and in verse 5. Picking up, if I may, in chapter 10, I'll read, get the idea of it. Verse 2, 10, 2, Hebrews. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin, but they have to keep sacrificing. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sin every year, so you have to keep doing it because you never get rid of them. But all the substitute, all the sacrifices, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. You can't go do it. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, this is his deity, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. By. Wow. So now, God, you're saying what? You're saying in your wonderful, wonderful deity, you're saying, that's right. He said, in deity, he's the God-man. He's the God-man. But when it comes to humans, he's strictly human. The two never come together. Humans always stay. The human nature never becomes deity. Neither do you. But you become partaker of his wonderful nature. And God takes your humanness and places it in Christ for his deity. And you enjoy what? Eternal life. What is eternal life? It's to know God as your Savior. That's eternal life. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, here's his deity. And in the light of his humanity, he says, I thirst. I thirst. On the cross, I'm thirsty. He did. Yeah. Understandably. And in his, in the combination, when his humanity and his deity say something that you like this a person, and he says to them, John 14:6, what is that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except by me. I, God, I, the Son of God, I, perfect man, am going to die on the cross, and I, perfect God, am going to get you to the Father. The man part, I'm going to take care of your sin. The God part, I'm going to get you to God. That's what I'm going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's why you're saved. It isn't some trick. It isn't some imagination trying to phantomize a dream, some funny thing. It's a very practical, wonderful, simple, awesome, eternal relationship. That's all it is. And you're supposed to be pretty smart about what and believers should be. Pretty smart about the whole thing. So we don't. The trouble with God is we're trying to trust God, but we don't feel him. We don't see him. We can't touch him. He doesn't say anything. Everything seems to be the same. Oh, awful hard, isn't it? Awful hard. No, I can trust him. I'm hurting. God, I'm still hurting. But God, here you are. What's the problem? I'm not connecting the pieces properly. I'm not understanding the relationship. I need to understand the relationship. That I'm not getting rid of your old nature. But you have a new one. Exercise it. Exercise the benefit. In the midst of sorrow, there is no sorrow. In the midst of darkness, there is light. In the midst of wrong, there is right. In the midst of all of you got it. He covers the bases, and you're supposed to trust him. He didn't ask you to fix everything. He asked you to trust him because he took care of it, and you have to live through it because he's willing to live through it. And if he's willing to live through your toothache, then you should be willing to live through your toothache. And when you go through disappointment, depression, discouragement, and all the other words, when you go through them, he has to bear them. That's what's called the grieving, the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. Stop grieving the Spirit of God. God isn't all upset about it. God has it. He knows exactly how it's going to go and why. Then why don't you trust him? No, you have to trust him. That's what you have to do. And either you do or you don't. If you don't, give up. And you live with your own nature. But you were saved. But you didn't appropriate everything. That's your problem. Now, so therefore, Therefore, in the light of that, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In my marvelous way, I come. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we have a unique, wonderful relationship to God, and we're to exercise it. And what we just said, putting that together, while you're in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And you will note, and Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, God's word. Who being, Hebrews 1, 3. Being, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So doing that part, just sit down. So where is the perfect, here's the humanity, here's the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. It is perfect humanness, saved. He's sitting there. So here's Christ, just like perfectly human and enjoying a unique oneness with God, one person. That's his humanness. But that humanness seated there at the right hand of God makes possible for God to be able to go and take his wonderful deity and put it in your humanity. And that's why you're saved. The humanity, Jesus isn't personally person, doesn't come in because there's no way. It isn't that. God just made the relationship possible so that you could be saved. That's what he did. This makes possible God coming into you, using different illustrations, God coming into your own heart. God does. Not his humanity. His deity does. He's the God-man. And he can relate. How are you related to Christ? You're related to Christ as his body. His body. That's how. You want the nation. Israel's the nation. You want the nation. You're his body. Boy, that's right. He's the head, you're the body. He's seated, Ephesians, Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. And I'm going to go right back to Hebrews, but Hebrews chapter 3, Revelation, and then chapter 3. As you would know, when you end, the church, God takes the church home. And when you come to chapter 3 of Revelation, and you know, verse 20, he's outside trying to get in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, not the building, I'll come into the person, and will sup with him, and he will have a wonderful fellowship. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. A unique, wonderful, personal relationship to God that lasts forever. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in closing, over if I can, you're getting a little bit. Hebrews chapter 2. Then I'm guessing that most, if you're going to go, most people, when you're trying to talk about spiritual things, if you try to understand FM when all you have is AM radio, and you're trying to
listen to FM on AM. How successful are you? When you're trying to understand spiritual things, you have to see it from God's point of view. And if you're trying to do it this way, what we just did, you're not going to get it. Right by the window. And you're going to be out there like most of us out there. We don't know beans. We talk about spiritual things. We haven't the slightest idea of how it really works in our little head. Could you stand up here and explain it to me? That's what I want to know. You come up here and explain this to me, how it works in your life. In your life, that's what I want to know. Not in the book. I want to know how the truth works in your life, in my life. Is that all right to say that? You say you know it. Then teach me. Help me understand if you really know it. Explain it to me. And say, well, explain God to me. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you have to give God some credit that he loves us anyway and helps us get there. Because most of us are quite content trying to hear God's word on AM, and we read the Bible on AM, and we pray on AM, and we do it, and God, yay, say, and we have no connection. We have no benefits. It's supposed to have the benefits. I got to have the benefits of being, I'll get punished by the choir. Thank you. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.